True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And it'll find its way over center where Benson, Tate Thompson's got a 2-on-1, holds it, drags it, scores! Dolin, couple of nice shake and bake moves at the blue line. Now it's Connor Clifton, sends it to the net, scores! Peyton Krebs! Puck comes up the near wall, Byram for Tate Thompson, drops it for Byram, creeps in, scores! Follow up on the play by Yuri Kulik! Sabres back in the Pittsburgh zone here as Dahlin will leave it for Roseanne. Far circle shot, scores! Great pass and a finish by Samuelson. Byram out of the corner. Kulik up top. Scores! Sabres with a nice takeaway here. And Nedeljkovic can't handle the rebound. Kozak bangs it in. Buffalo gaining the zone here. Maybe another push. Yes, there is. Alex Tuch scores! Raining goals in Buffalo.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Wow, that goal horn got a workout last night. And it was over and over and over, second period especially. Sabres went 7-3. Good morning. It's a Friday. Sal is in. Jeremy off today. I'll be off next week. It's my final day before a week off, traveling down to Charlotte. We're stopping D.C. on the way.
All right.
You're going to Florida.
I'll be leaving for the NFL owners meetings Sunday morning.
Okay.
They're in West Palm Beach.
And I'm leaving tomorrow, and I think from what I know about the two of us, that neither one of us have packed a single thing yet.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
100% correct.
Not a single thing.
No.
Haven't thought about what I'm packing yet.
The only thing I've thought about is they have a party on Monday night. For everybody who's there, this is, you walk into this thing, you have to have a credential or work for a team or the league.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite, maybe the favorite event that I attend every year in the NFL. And we're talking the owners' meetings are at the best hotel you could imagine, whatever city, right? So in this case, it's the Breakers in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk out on the lawn, and it's this huge, incredible space, and it's all incredible food, drinks everywhere, and it doesn't matter. GMs, coaches, league executives, and media. And you just talk to people. And you just hang out with people.
Networking.
And for that, you look nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not black tie.
This isn't you wear all white to the party, right?
No, that's not it.
That's one of those
parties
that Brady goes to in like California.
Yeah, I did that on a cruise, by the way, recently. But,
oh, really? Okay.
In this, it's more like you got to wear a jacket. Collared shirt, jacket. But that's the only thing I've thought about. Like, all right, which jacket for the party?
What am I wearing to that party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I've thought about.
Yeah. That's the hotel where the owners are staying at or where everybody's staying at? The owners are staying at.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
that's one of those places that were like, I'd walk in like, I would never stay here. This is crazy nice.
But what's really cool, Joe, is whether it's at Orlando, it's at the Ritz. in Arizona, we've been out there. It's at the Biltmore.
Okay.
And here this year, it's at West Palm Beach of the Breakers.
Okay.
And what is cool is, even though, like, I won't stay there as a member of the media, we could be there all day and just hang out. And you kind of have free reign of the hotel to go where you need to go. And you can go have lunch there, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's all the conference rooms. So you can be there the whole time. Heck, maybe I'll sleep on the floor. I don't know.
Well, owners' meetings are next week, and we'll get to some of the stuff that is on the docket. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Sal's heading down there for the week. Baseball yesterday. The Bisons in action today. We'll talk to Pat Malacaro a little bit later. I think we'll see. The rain is in the forecast, but
looking better
than it did maybe at times yesterday that we
thought. Because I'm going to the game. We have a we're going with some friends. It's one of my son's friends' birthdays.
Okay,
so we're actually going to the game later, and we kept looking at it going, man, how about this rain? But got to bundle up a little bit.
I thought about going to the game just by myself. Like, I was texting my brother. Like, obviously, he's working. I'm like, you're not working from home or whatever today. Like, I can get out of it. Just want to go hang out at the Bisons game. Like, even if nobody else is, like, around, or, you know, they're obviously doing their jobs at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, just go. Just go and sit. I thought about, though, I'm reading at least one book a month for this year. So
I like that.
I'm like, can I walk into the stadium with a book?
That'll be 12 more books than I read this year.
I mean, it's 12 more books than I've read in 10 years. I'm like, can I just, what are the rules on that? I don't know if anyone's ever tried to do that to at least, I mean, a football game. I know I've never tried to do that. Can I just walk into the ball game with a book?
Why not?
There's no reason why they wouldn't let me, right?
No,
that's not on the list of
I don't think so, no.
Prohibited items?
No, when you walk into the game, they look inside your bag or whatever else. You put it through the scanner, the screening machine.
Yeah.
A book is fine, I'm pretty darn sure. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be.
For a Bisons game, especially. Yeah. If it was a Bills game, I might think they'd say to the person with the book, you're not reading that book in here. You're planning to, like, throw paper up in the air or
something. What if it's A.J. Brown, though?
Well, if it's A.J. Brown, then it should be. Maybe he's normalized books at football games. So I did think about that. I am also reading Moneyball right now, so it would be pretty funny if I showed up at a baseball game reading that one.
People would think you're an aspiring GM.
Yeah, they might.
Now, your point here brings up something interesting for me, which is you're talking about going alone.
Yeah.
I think that's great, and it's cool. Now, I've done a lot of things alone. Even before I was married, but even since. But one of the reasons why my wife will tell you that she married me and said, oh, yeah, this guy I think is a good guy.
Yeah.
That I would, when we were dating, she'd be like, what did you do last night? Or we first met, I should say. We were talking, what did you do last night? And I said, went to the movies. She said, who'd you go with? I said, nobody. What do you mean? You went alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went alone. I went alone to the movies.
Yep.
And she's like, that's a confident guy, I guess. I don't know. That's a story. That wasn't the reason I told her.
Who cares?
But I used to go to the movies alone.
I went to see Oppenheimer for the first time by myself.
I love it.
Middle of the day. And for me especially, like, maybe this is a little bit for you too now, where if your day is open in the middle and everybody else is doing something, like they're at their normal jobs, then, like, Oppenheimer's out. I want to see it. I'm not waiting. I'm just going to go. I can go see it.
Yeah.
If it's really good and I want to see it a second time, then I'll go see it a second time. But I'm not waiting around.
I went to Vegas for 4 days by myself.
See, now that's more than I've done by myself. I don't know that I would do a trip by myself.
But I will tell
you, sure it was super fun.
It was. And yeah, it's great going with friends. I've gone with friends.
Yeah.
Going by myself, I could do anything I want. I met some people at the pool. They're like, hey, you want to come out to dinner with us? Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe this wouldn't be near what you're talking about, going to Vegas. But, like, just drive up to Toronto one day during the season. Just for a ball game, by myself. Just
like
go see the Blue Jays and whoever at some point during the year. Or Pittsburgh might be a little more for a day, little much for a day trip back and forth. It's a lot of driving, and then a baseball game in between. Like that's a lot. But I could see myself doing that this year. Just right. I don't. Who cares? Just there's no.
Have you ever gone to a Sabres game by yourself?
I've not done that.
Other than see, if you think about it, I would say yeah, I have because I've gone using a credential. It's by myself.
Yeah.
But you're sitting up in the press box with people. But
yeah.
How about just sitting in the stands?
No, not in the stands.
You kind of have a.
I haven't done.
You almost
have
to have a person to go with for that.
Yeah, you need somebody to share in the misery sometimes.
Not as much
but
misery.
But not lately.
Yeah, last night was nice.
Not lately. The Sabres win big last night, and they're winning at home a lot lately. I said earlier in the week, hey, you know what the bar is at this point for the season? Because everyone's demoralized by it, and no one cares about the bottom of the standings. This isn't a draft where it's that meaningful anyway, so who cares? So, like, if you catch Pittsburgh, you catch Pittsburgh. Whatever. It's 3% in the lottery. No one cares. Just don't have people leaving the arena upset. That's it. That's your bar for the remainder of the year. In your home games, just have it be a good night out for people. That's it. And last night would have absolutely been that. And Tuesday would have been that against Ottawa. And Vegas would have been that last week when they come back and win at the end with 12 seconds to go. Dahlin scores. I mean, they have not lost a home game since March 8th. One home loss on the season, it looks like, or on the month against the Panthers where they lost 4-0. So otherwise, they've been really good at home. Their home record is actually pretty good. We have not discussed the Sabres. Whenever we bring you on, obviously, we're talking about the Bills or we're talking about, you know, rule stuff in the NFL. They are 19-14-3 on the season at home. Terrible on the road. I don't know if it's meaningful to you at all that there are these sectors where you can kind of, you know, you can rule out other areas of play and go, oh, they actually are, they're good in this spot. So they're good at home. They have a good home record. They're better than some playoff teams are at home on the year. They are really good in the first period. If I don't count the second and third, they're really good in the first period. They are really good at 5-on-5. But then I've got these other things that are dragging it down. They're terrible on the road. They're terrible on the power play. That, you know, they had the 13-game losing streak. So I don't know where you are on the season as a whole. I don't know how many places you really could be other than demoralized. But I don't know. You feel any hope going forward from what you're seeing? I mean, the win last night, you know, might help a little, but
yeah, but I get in this spot almost every year at this time, and I always say, well, what does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the late season push in games that really don't matter, and the teams they're playing a lot of times, like last night, Pittsburgh, they're kind of in free fall mode. They don't care necessarily as an organization where they are this year. So it's hard to realistically get myself to, yeah, I hope, and this looks good for next year. But it's hard not to when you see young players like Jiří Kulík playing the way he's playing.
Yeah.
And you get these moments and these games and these stretches where, yeah, this is what it's supposed to look like. Okay, so now you have the pieces. Let's run this into next year. But once the season ends, it doesn't matter. You start over next year, and you could have another 13-game winless streak or 10-game winless streak.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I know we've done the math on this, but think about this for a second. It's just incredible for me to think about. In the 13-game winless streak, you know how many points did they get in the 13-game winless streak?
Ooh, was it like three?
They got three.
Yeah, it was
They had 3 points. They lost three games in either shootout or overtime.
Yeah.
Let's just say all three of those games they wind up winning in a shootout or overtime. That's only three more points,
yeah,
right? Then you just win two more games. Just win two more games.
Mm-hmm.
That's four more points. That's a total of seven. Joe, add 7 points onto where they are right now.
2 points out of the playoffs is what that would be. Thoroughly in the race. In the race.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Yes, 13-game winless streak, and we talk about if they would have won half of them. I'm not even talking about half of them.
Yeah, half of them would be in a spot.
Yeah, all I'm talking about is get the other point in the three games you lost,
yeah,
and then just win two more games in regulation. And you're literally in a spot to possibly grab a playoff spot in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. You know, looking back on that streak, that really is, like, you hear, I saw some of the quotes from Lindy and Kevin Adams at this Blue and Gold Insights they did the other night, which was season ticket holders at the arena, opportunity to ask questions. And, of course, that's one of them. But Lindy talked about this on Tuesday after he gets his 600th win. And it might have been Matt Bove in the postgame presser that asked him about, you know, the disappointment of the year and, like, more so wanting to get it right, wanting to fix it. And Lindy talking about how he badly wants to fix it.
Yeah.
And he compared it to, I mean, in this way, it's true because he hasn't driven the car in a while. He compared it to a car you haven't driven in a while, and you drive it, and then you look under the hood to see what's wrong with it before you get back in the driver's seat. And that might feel like where he is right now. and he talked about the 13-game losing streak. He brought it up on his own. They brought it up on their own at the Blue and Gold Insights. Like, to me, the coach and the GM have both sounded like they really feel like it was just that streak.
Yep.
And they both, to their credit, you don't often get this from Adams or maybe just GMs in general, showing real regret before a season is really even over about, I should have done something different. And saying that publicly. Saying
is that what Adams said and has
Adams,
said, right?
Adams has said, like, yeah, maybe I should have called somebody up to try to mix up the group, or maybe I should have made a trade. Like, he kind of admitted to that. So, and they didn't do anything
right
during that streak.
It'll be figured out. The answer's in the room. Remember that.
Yes,
But it'll get figured out in its own.
Terry flew to Montreal, yeah. And it was the answer is in this room, and then they got pummeled 6-1 the next night,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the most embarrassing nights on the year, especially since the owner had just been there. You know, that streak, one thing that might be forgotten about that streak a lot, remember, began with, didn't officially begin. Maybe there was a loss before this. They're up 4-1 against Colorado. They have a four-goal lead? They had a 3 or 4-goal lead against the Avalanche at home. And they're still up, I think, 2 going into the third period. And then Dahlin got hurt. He missed the rest of that third period. The Avalanche came back and tied it. Then he missed, it was like 9 of the next 10, 10 of the next 11. He missed almost the whole streak. And that might be forgotten, that your best player was out for 13 games. That is not to absolve them of that streak, which pretty much killed the season. I mean, you just did the math. You don't even have to give them much from that streak, and they're in the playoff race. And we're all feeling pretty good about where they're at, if that's true. But Dahlin being out maybe showed they're a little too reliant on a couple of their best players still. Mm-hmm. They're a little too reliant on Dahlin. If he can leave the lineup like that for 3 weeks and you can't win a single hockey game, when Thompson leaves the lineup, they look like a team that can't score goals at all. And maybe that's changing a little bit. Kulik is showing an ability. But I think they are still a team that is very reliant on a couple of guys that are more consistent than the rest.
Didn't we go into the year kind of knowing they're a little top heavy? And the floor was raised a bit in the bottom six, but you know, you had questions. If you had any injuries, your depth was going to be tested.
Yeah.
I think that was really a lot of what people thought, and sure enough, that's what happened. But you're right, even maybe more so than what they thought, that they've been too reliant on their top guys, their top scorers.
And I think Lindy's gonna be back next year.
I do too.
He's talking like
when he says he wants I wanna fix it.
Yeah. Because to me, there were two ways he's not the coach next year. One, which was the one that I considered more likely, not more likely than not, just more likely than the alternative, is that he would just say, yeah, I don't want to do this again. You know, I'm going to retire. I'm at an age where that would be completely acceptable anyway, and it was a tiring process throughout the year. I'm going to walk away. That, to me, wouldn't have been stunning at all. It would be stunning now considering how he's sounded about it recently. The other way he wouldn't be the coach is if Adams is about to get fired. And that's a tough one to gauge. You don't really have a... The best way to do it, Paul has said this, because you don't hear from the owner mm-hmm. on the Sabres, so there's not really any, you know, media comments to read into and try to figure out from that, like, what he's thinking. The only thing you can really read into, Paul said this, is he was allowed to make the Norris Cousins trade at the deadline.
Right. Yes.
And would you let him make that trade if you thought at that time, well, I'm getting rid of him in 2 months as the GM?
I think more signs are pointing to him being back than not because of everything you just said. I agree with that. But if you want to go down that road, I could make the case that him being allowed to make that trade doesn't factor because maybe that's something him and the owner had talked about already for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you make a trade like that, you're going to involve and tell ownership what's going on. I mean, it's just you're going to do that. It's a core guy.
In the Sabres embedded video that they dropped 2 days ago, it's like 15 minutes behind the scenes of the deadline. Like 30 seconds of it was Adams on the phone, on speakerphone with Terry, talking about the trade.
So how do we know that maybe for a month or 2 months leading up, it wasn't, hey, we got to shake up the core. I really could wind up dealing Cousins. And he gets blessings from Terry to say, okay, I mean, if you have to do that, just let me know what's going on. So it's not a shock that you get to the deadline, and it's not that, well, I'm going to let you do what you need to do. It's more like, I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You could make that case.
Yeah, no, you're right. You could. So we'll see. Like I said, it's hard to gauge. I would agree with you. I think it's more likely he is back. I do think it's possible he's not, though. I've not seen any update on the Jarmo Kekalainen poking around Sabres Twitter thing.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so former Blue Jackets GM Jarmo Kekalainen, who was their GM for 10 years, just got fired like a year ago. Maybe like the first name that comes up when you think of experienced GMs available. He's following the Buffalo News guys on Twitter. And they're the only beat reporters in the league that he's following. And he followed another Joe Marino from Sabres Twitter.
Yep.
And then Joe called it out on Twitter, and then Jarmo unfollowed him because he got called out on it. So, but that could literally just be guy wants to be a GM in the league again, and he's thinking, I'll follow them. Let me see what's going on in Buffalo.
I tell you, I think I've told you this before. Here, I'm just a beat reporter for a team.
Mm.
I get followed by personnel people from the NFL every year.
Yeah.
Because they want to find out what's going on with the team they're playing.
Right.
Around the league. And I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, no.
But I've noticed a couple years ago, I'm just bumping around. I'm like, hey, who's this guy? 49ers profile. He was a 49ers executive. And he was following me.
Do you remember ever having that happen? This would, I'm sure, be before Bean and McDermott. Because now you wouldn't think this way. Did that ever happen to you, like during the drought, and think, ooh, I wonder if that's something more than just guy is wanting to see what's going on with the Bills?
No.
The way like I just kind of mentioned Jarmo Kekalainen for this. Like, oh, I wonder he might be interested in the Saber job.
Only players I thought that about. I would have a player follow me during the drought and think, are the players listening to what we're saying? They want to know what's going on.
Oh, a player like on the team?
A player on the team.
Interesting.
A player on the team. Like, they want to start paying attention more to what we're saying, maybe about their future, what the team's doing, something like that. But during the drought, nothing like that ever particularly happened.
All right. Well, Sabres win yesterday 7-3. By the way, very quick word on the Penguins. They are so cooked. Not just this year.
Now and the future.
Like,
immediate future, at least.
I would bet, this might sound crazy because they still do have Crosby. I think I would bet on the Sabres getting good way before I would bet on the Penguins getting good. It's just the Penguins' age. You know, like, they're bad. They're really bad. And here are the ages of the Pittsburgh Penguins' top scorers. Crosby, they really are wasting the end of his career. Because, and this isn't just this year, it's been for a couple of years, he's still awesome. He leads the league in even strength points. At 37 years old, he's more than McDavid,
point per game, 20 straight point per game seasons. Yeah, breaks the NHL record.
That's insane. Here are the ages of their leading scorers: 37, 31, 32, 34, 38, 31, 29, 37, 32.
Wow.
That's their top nine scorers. One guy under 30, and he's 29. And they have no prospects.
And they don't have great goaltending.
They don't have great goaltending. They don't have even, like, here you have, like, I'm not optimistic about Jack Quinn right now. Like, it hasn't looked great all year. But what is he, 22, 23? The Sabres have a group of guys where it's like, okay, well, maybe this guy, because he's at an age where they haven't figured it out yet, maybe he'll take a step. There aren't guys in that pocket of age for the Penguins. They don't have any group of 23, 24-year-olds that are like, well, maybe that guy will take a step up.
So who are we trading to the Penguins in the offseason? What are you getting back? So that's the answer.
What do you want? You want Crosby?
That's not happening. No, he's going to play one more year maybe at his 8.7.
He's, you know.
Is it 1 year or two? He signed the extension. Did it include this year?
I think it's two.
Two from this year?
Do you have an appreciation for Crosby? Because this is not that common in today's sports world anymore. I mean, Brady left. Crosby is very much playing it as, I'm Penguins till I die.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, because a lot of athletes now are, all right, if I get a shot, if it's not working here, and even if I've been in this organization for 20 years, and I can have a chance to go somewhere else and try to win one more championship, then, all right, I'm going to leave. Crosby is just, it seems like he's just playing it as, I am not lining up in another uniform for my career.
I would say yes, that makes sense, and it feels right, but I'm just going to look to make sure he signed this contract extension that takes him two more years. So the end of his contract is 26, 27.
He'll be 39, I think, yeah.
absolutely would not rule it out that at the trade deadline in that year that he could get moved, and because he says, I just want to win one more cup, but obviously I'm a Penguin for life.
You might be right. I guess you see a lot. There was a thing about the Avalanche this year, how like the Avalanche, McKinnon and Crosby are close. They are from the same hometown, I think, or if not, they're close to it. And the Avalanche people like wanting Crosby, and it's, at least this is from Penguins media, it's like, he'll never leave. He'll never, ever, ever, ever leave. Like, don't even waste your breath about it. That might be just how you operate in general without knowing, but you see a very aggressive pushback anytime it's mentioned. Like, oh, that it's not working here. Will he go on to chase a cup somewhere else?
Joe, about 6-7 years ago, I remember on this radio station, I said this about Brady, that look,
he'll never,
this is how it ends sometimes. You go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It happened with Joe Montana, right? It happened with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Everybody says it's not going to, but it kind of always ends like that. It always ends badly. So don't be surprised. And then there was the article that was written. I don't even think it was Seth Wickersham. It might have been. Might have been before that. But there was a quote from Brady's dad that even said something like, it always ends like that. So eventually that might happen. But there are people just totally dismissing. There's no way he'll ever play for another team. That's what happens. The only guy I could think of that...
Who didn't it end like that for
Jeter.
Recently? Jeter. Yeah, Jeter.
And Jeter at the end had a couple opportunities, he said, that it could have gone like that, but it didn't.
Kobe, too.
Kobe.
And the Lakers were bad at the end.
Yep.
And he didn't leave. He's there when he scores 60 in his final game. So, Jeter and Kobe. Can't think of a football one. Recently.
A football one, Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, okay, sure.
I mean, it depends on what level and high level you want to put the guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, who it is.
Right, because Crosby's on another level.
Sure.
He's Mount Rushmore.
Sure, level. But I mean, there are guys like that. But I just, that's why I say I would never rule it out. I mean, you get 2 years from now, and Crosby's just kind of dragging these guys to ninth place in the conference, and it's just, come on, what am I doing? I'm 39. And then he has a chance to go play with McKinnon maybe or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it for the final 2 months.
You watched it, by the way. The Penguins finally get bad. They're going to win the lottery this year. Get the first overall pick just to spark it all back up again.
I know. I'm not into the prospects this year. Is there a generational guy?
I'm not really either, but I couldn't tell you really the names at the top, but right. I know enough to know there isn't. No.
His name's James Hagans. That's the guy that's projected one overall. He's like he's good, but he's not like
right. I've Bedard, seen recently though that like he might be falling to like third or fourth.
Oh.
So
okay.
Even there's at least a debate about who the first guy is.
Well then that's different than a lot of years where it's McDavid, it's Matthews. That's not the case.
No.
It's
not
Bedard, not this year.
No.
Next year, though, there's a guy. His name's Gavin McKenna.
Next year, don't get me started.
I'm just saying. He's the cousin of Connor Bedard. He's put up like 140 points in the WHL.
Is he related to Sean McKenna, former Buffalo Sabre?
It's possible.
Need to go look at that now. See?
It's way too early for me in the morning to be talking 2026 NHL draft.
This guy is just crazy, okay? Like, he's playing for the Medicine Hat Tigers. He's got 129 points in 56 games.
Chances are we're going to be back here in a year talking about this kid.
Oh, my God. Please, no. Please, no.
What are the chances of that? They're 50-50. Maybe they're not. They're not 100.
Today is my first day of actually hosting a full show and saying hello to the bullpen now. So, hi, bullpen.
Yes, Sal. Welcome to the bullpen.
I love that you guys nicknamed it the bullpen. We got a lot of people. I do watch the show on YouTube.
Yeah?
And I watch the afternoon show on YouTube.
Me too.
It's so great to
watch.
I watch
the afternoon show on YouTube.
And sometimes I'll just keep the audio on because you can do that in the background. But I love watching it. I see a lot of you in the bullpen. Thank you very much. We got the sports man who comes in all the time, AC Man 319, who's there.
He's a regular.
Coach Chris Curtis. I know it says Coach Drunk Chris Curtis. I hope you're not a drunk coach. That's all I want to tell you. DJ is in there, Kevin. So thank you. And I do see you, and you guys say hello, and I'm trying to do the job, but I appreciate it. But today's the first day. So if you have never gone to the YouTube stream, check us out at WGR550 on YouTube. And I've been saying this for a while, Joe. Canadian listeners, this is finally a way for them to watch or listen to the show.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't do it on the app. which has been shut down for in Canada for years.
Yeah.
And now we finally get our Canadian listeners back. They can watch and listen through YouTube.
Yeah. Super cool. So yeah, be sure to check it out. We'll check in on the chat in a little bit. They were talking about something baseball related that I had written down to get to today. So opening day yesterday, the tournament got fired back up yesterday too, and there was a great ending. It happened really late though, so I was asleep, for Arkansas and Texas Tech.
Me too.
Big comeback at the end. Went to overtime. So tournament's back up. Coach Cal's tourney is done, though. Got some Bills stuff to get to. The draft is under a month away. We've got the league owners meetings. A lot to get to here on a Friday. Sal Capaccio is in for Jeremy White. 803-0550, the phone number if you'd like to get in here on WG.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaving or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
VR.
Comes up the near wall. Byram for Tage Thompson. Drops it for Byram. Creeps in. Scores! Follow up on the play by Yuri Kulik. And it's 3-1 Buffalo.
Kulik would score again for his 13th and 14th goals of the season. It's one of your first moments of the game. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Sabres win 7-3 over the Penguins. They are likely going to escape last place in the Eastern Conference by season's end, which they have not been. They have not been out of last place in the East since the middle of December. I think it was December 13th was the last date that they weren't in last in the East. They are 1 point behind Philadelphia now with three games in hand. Flyers, by the way, getting rid of John Tortorella. Yesterday, parting ways, mutual, you know, I saw every terminology used, but Tortorella is out in Philly. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. Sal Capaccio is along for the ride. Baseball started yesterday. The Yankees started with a win. Good for them.
It was a catcher leading off. A little bit harrowing at the end. Mm-hmm. They just traded for their closer, Williams, from the Brewers, who they played. Mm-hmm. He comes in the ninth with a 4-1 lead, and they load the bases with no outs.
Wow.
And then they finally get out of it. They get a sack fly. They score. Okay. Then they were able to get out of it. But did you know what happened with the catcher leading off?
No.
He had a home run.
On the opening?
Opening first.
Did he?
First batter
of
the game.
Did not see that.
Yeah, so wow. Austin Wells became the first catcher to ever lead off in a game for the Yankees, I believe.
Okay.
They've never had a catcher lead off in a game. And then he became the first Yankee ever to hit a home run on opening day to lead off the game.
Yeah. I saw yesterday you asked that about, like, when's the last time a catcher anywhere has led off? Mm-hmm. Somebody, one of my buddies did text me that he thought Joe Mauer used to do it for Minnesota.
Maybe. I mean, he was a great athlete.
Yeah. But, right, like, that's rare. It's very rare that a catcher bats lead off. So, very cool that he got a home run off the top. The other thing, baseball-wise, I wanted to bring up real quick here, because there were a couple interesting things that happened yesterday. Like, Paul Skenes pitches for Pittsburgh, and it goes exactly how I'd expect. He was awesome, right? And then he leaves, and they give up runs, and they lose to the Marlins.
Soto gets a base hit, his first at-bat with the Mets.
There you go.
They wind up losing on a walk-off win by the Marlins.
Yep. There are two things that I'm interested by yesterday in baseball. One is Mike Trout.
Okay.
He's just going to go his whole career never winning. That's really going to happen, right? He's 33 now.
That we were talking about, that could be never go anywhere else.
I couldn't believe that result when I saw it yesterday. It's one game out of 160-plus, but the White Sox, who have the lowest over-under in the league this year by far, like 51.5, they beat the Angels 8-1. Trout's just never gonna be playing in meaningful games his whole career, and it's kind of amazing. That's one thing. The other thing is, are the Dodgers gonna be like another level of supervillain this year in baseball? Like I hear a lot of all the money they spend, and it's unfair how they do it, and you know they're doing it because the CBA is coming up, and they know they can like deferred money. You know, they're taking all the good players away. Are the Dodgers, have they reached another level of villain where there's more of a anyone but the Dodgers mentality, yes. I feel like, this year in that sport?
I agree. I think, yes. It's a, it happens with dynasties, great teams.
Yeah.
I think we're here with the Chiefs. Anyone but the Chiefs.
Yes.
It's become that in football. I do think there's a sentiment of that. It's not just because they win. It's also because of what you said. They are finding a way that other teams simply can't do, but it's totally legal,
yeah,
to pay players and get the best by deferring money. Ohtani is making like $1 million a year.
It's crazy.
And then after he retires, he's going to make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
Like Barry Bonds still makes $1 million a year now from, not Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, sorry.
Bobby Bonilla
makes $1 million a year now from the Mets from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like baseball, you're allowed to defer money and say, we'll pay you when your career is over, and
yeah,
it doesn't go on the luxury tax, which isn't even a salary cap.
And then he gets a better tax rate, so it works out for him, too.
So, yes, yeah. But most teams can't do that. They're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
And, yes, on top of that, they win.
Because baseball, and this has always been true, hasn't it? It's the sport where it's mostly about how much is your owner willing to spend.
Yes, but...
Because, I mean, the Pirates... And I talked to Josh Goldberg yesterday, who covers the Blue Jays, and we talked a little bit about that with him. Like, the Blue Jays aren't, you know, cash poor. They are compared to the Dodgers. But they were trying to figure out a contract with Vlad Guerrero Jr., so we were talking about the money, and he made a comment in passing. Like, it's not like they're the Pirates. Pirates fans are already, you know, counting down the days that Paul Skenes is going to get traded to a contender because they're not going to want to pay him. So that's like, that's Pittsburgh, right? That's the Marlins, where just how are these teams even... they're not in the same league. We talk about the Sabres this way. Fans will talk about the Sabres this way, and there are truths to that. But man, baseball. It's so much different. It is so all about how much money you want to spend.
So that's, I'm glad you brought it up. I don't know if maybe some people need a refresher on how this works and why it's different. Yes, it's about how much they're willing to spend, but every team has an ability to make more than another team because. The difference between baseball, I'm going to use that one sport here, mm-hmm. versus football, all of the TV money in football is completely shared equally among 32 teams. When they sign $1 billion a year with Netflix,
yeah.
that billion is divided up amongst 32 teams. It does not matter.
You get 1/32nd. Yeah.
You do not have, the Buffalo Bills do not have the ability. The Dallas Cowboys don't have the ability. Any team that's the biggest brand name does not have the ability to go make their own TV deal. That is separate in baseball. Mm-hmm. The Yankees have a deal with the YES Network. It's literally called Yankee Entertainment System.
Yeah.
It is their own network, and they can make all the money goes to them.
Yeah.
The Mets have their own network, goes to them. The Dodgers can have their own TV network, goes to them. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're not getting that in a lot of markets. So all that money comes to you.
Yeah.
You can now spend it, and you have this advantage that other teams don't have.
Right.
Where in football, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's right. So I was going to say hockey you can, but it's not on the same level. There's not the same amount of money in hockey that there is in.
I would say that'd be right.
And you have a hard salary cap in hockey, and it's very different, right? Guaranteed contracts. And
so in baseball, you have what's called a luxury tax. If you spend over a certain amount, you have to pay back some of that money that then does get dispersed amongst the league. But if you're making that much money, who cares?
Right.
Teams are willing to pay over the luxury tax sometimes.
Right. 803-0550 is the phone number. The Bisons today, we'll talk with Pat Mellicaro coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get to this at 7. The draft, I want to get to the draft a little bit with you on the position. The Bills can't draft in the first two rounds everything that people might think you want an immediate player at. There's a few positions where... you might want a guy that could step in and make an impact and compete for a job right away.
I count at least four positions where that's true of, and they have three picks in rounds 1, 2, and 3.
Four positions that you think you could insert a guy now that could start.
Yes. Like, not all, it wouldn't, he'd have to beat a guy out, but.
I know, I would say two.
Okay.
And maybe a half, because I think you could, there's one I think I totally respect, because I want to get into this with you, but
yeah.
Where would this, I'm thinking of the fourth.
Not to start might be the wrong word. I think.
Immediately help.
A role.
Immediately help.
Yeah, immediate help. At
okay,
that position.
I could find four.
Yeah.
But I think there's only two legitimate openings to be actual like players and get time on this team.
Let's get into that. We are 26 days from the draft. I missed the count. We'll get the whiteboard back up in here with the counter. But we're under a month away till the NFL draft. Sal Capaccio's in for Jeremy today. If you'd like to get in, phone lines are open here on WGR.
Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Somewhere in Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is somewhere there, Crocodile Dundee.
What is going on there?
What was that? So, the Bulls, the madness from last night. There were great college basketball. I mean, the Arkansas game was great. Nate Oates' Alabama set the record for three-pointers in a game, right, for a tournament game. But the craziest ending last night in basketball was NBA. 5-point lead, 12 seconds to go. The Lakers give up a three-pointer. LeBron throws the ball away. The Bulls hit another three-pointer. Then the Lakers hit a two-pointer layup to take the lead back. Bang, half-court shot at the buzzer to win it for Chicago. Was he just doing movie quotes, though?
No. So maybe, yeah. Possibly. First of all, a little credit, our sister station, The Score, 670 in Chicago, Odyssey. That's where that call came from. Secondly, but Josh Giddey is from Australia.
Oh, okay.
So he's making...
Josh Giddey is the guy who hit the shot.
Yeah, so he's making Australian references, and maybe he's going back to Crocodile Dundee in the movie. But that's where that's born out of.
I see. I've never seen Crocodile Dundee, should I?
Oh, you haven't?
Is that one you got to go back and see it?
I think you need to go see it. It's there's some cool one-liners like that's not a knife, and he takes out this that's a knife, right?
See,
like it's just
I feel like without ever seeing it, but seeing clips from it, that's one of those movies, 80s movies that does not hold up.
No, it's okay. It's got some
All right.
It's all right. You wouldn't mind it.
I don't see myself getting to it.
It's not like me saying you need to watch Stripes to him yesterday.
Ooh, that is one I've been told
to. It's not streaming anywhere.
That's okay. I get it.
No, you can find it somewhere. You can always find it somewhere.
Not knocking you, but you got to go watch Stripes.
Yeah. Anything that's got Bill Murray in it, I'm...
I couldn't believe the other day. I'm at Roswell with Mike Shope doing the show, filling in with Bulldog.
Yeah.
I told Mike I watched Roadhouse in the afternoon because I was just kind of chilling and it was on. And Mike said he had never seen Roadhouse. Have you watched Roadhouse?
Oh, yes.
Mike has never seen the 1989 Roadhouse. I'm not even talking about the new one.
No, the new one is a ghastly.
Mike's in his 50s.
Holy cow!
And he's never seen Roadhouse.
Listen, if you haven't seen have you seen the new one?
No.
You should see the new one just because of how unbelievable it is that thing. I don't even know how to describe it. It's not even like it's a bad movie. It's a bad remake. The first one, the first one's a classic. The
it's
new
Conor
one is
Conor McGregor going crazy. That's all it is.
Conor McGregor in that movie. He's not an actor, and you've seen athletes in movies before, right? Like, LeBron's in a movie from a couple of years ago, and Dan Marino is in Ace Ventura, right? Like, there have been athletes that make appearances or even play roles in movies. This guy just, it's hilarious how bad he is at acting. Anyways, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
I'll watch Stripes before I watch Crocodile Dundee, I'll tell you that. All right, when we come back, the Bills and positional need going into the draft. They have three picks on days 1 and 2. To get into the positions, really the question is, what position can you live with them not taking of like the four top ones. Get to that when we come back. Sal's in for Jeremy today here on a Friday, and this is WGR.